from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, really appreciate the feedback, that trade conversation, and what the Hawks are going to do. What would you do if you're the GM? We'll refire that later in the show, because this is it, man. The season is over, and now it's go time. Draft is on the way, and then whatever the Hawks are going to try to do to get out of the doldrums of this crappy play-in rut that we're stuck in with two-point guards. We got redundancy there, as Chris pointed out, so we'll get that going. Real quick, before we get to our next guest, Falcons make an announcement today that Arthur Blank will be going into the Ring of Honor. That'll happen the weekend of the Chiefs. Game when the Chiefs are at Mercedes-Benz. I believe that's Sunday Night Football, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And so that will be on the 22nd of September, and then Matt Ryan will be inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor versus the Bucks. That's on October 3rd. There's a cool video Warwick Dunn, who's one of the nicest and greatest guys you'll ever meet to play in the NFL. He lets Mr. Blank know, and it's kind of cool. Now, some guys are already saying, well, it's his team. Wouldn't he just say, I'm going in the Ring of Honor? I believe they have a committee that decides such things, and now Arthur is in. Look, we can all debate. Does he know how to win? Maybe doesn't get it always right. But nobody wants to win more than Arthur. He's just maybe been loyal to a fault with some executives or coaches here and there. But the guy, he has built, got the stadium built. We're getting World Cup soccer here because of him. And even though United is hot garbage right now, he did get that thing built, and we won us a championship. So the legacy, I think, is it goes without saying. And, of course, there's a new hospital with his name on down the side.
That's,
for children.
Yeah, how about that?
There you go. And with that note, let's get to Frank Schwab. We haven't talked to the man in a minute as we hit the NFL Blitz.
NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, man, from Yahoo Sports, our man Frank. And you are brought to you, by the way, Frank, by Priority Men's Medical Center. Not that you need help. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedicalCenter.com. We haven't talked to you in a minute. What do you think of the Falcons' offseason moves?
I mean, it's hard not to envision a high upside scenario with Kirk Cousins, right? Like, you just put a good quarterback in where there was no quarterback before, and good things should happen, especially in that division. I mean, I'm not going to give you a contrarian take on Michael right. Penix. I was as confused as everybody else. I mean, I guess I understand the path to it turning out well. We all bashed the Jordan Love pick for three right. years, and nobody's bashing it anymore. It can turn out, but I thought it was a little strange, and not apples to apples with the Jordan Love pick or the Aaron Rodgers pick or any other one. But overall, I thought the Falcons did fine. I still have questions about their defense. I don't know that necessarily Kirk Cousins is a sure thing at 36 years old coming off Achilles surgery, but hard to find a quarterback in the NFL. Falcons were one of the three, four worst quarterback situations in the league. So you have to favor them to win the division after what they've done.
Frank, when it comes to the defense, as you just mentioned, do you foresee those holes preventing them making a deep playoff run?
I do. I mean, I just don't. It's hard in the NFL when you don't have a pass rusher, and this goes back to the Michael Penix debate of why you take. And I get there was no standout, you know, defensive player there. Latu would have been a little early there, even Dallas Turner or whatever. But it's really hard with their personnel to. Now, the one caveat to that is Raheem Morris might do wonders for that defense. He's a heck of a defensive coach. He has a great track record. Why wouldn't he help fix the defense a little bit? But I just don't think they have the personnel right now to have the type of defense to where you can envision, hey, this team could beat the 49ers or this team could beat the Cowboys, although everybody seems to beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. But it's just tough to see the Falcons getting beyond, hey, you won the NFC South, that's awesome, but there's still work to do next offseason.
Frank, by the way, guys are already on Twitter going, once again, you got another guest who's killing the anybody who comes in from outside Atlanta, it's almost like I call it the Stockholm syndrome, Frank, with the Penix thing, because so many guys just, you know, love the Penix pick, and they weren't sold on Cousins, because some guys in this town still are hung up on a guy named number 7. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that, I agree. I just said, go get Penix and spend that money on free agency and commit. It's almost like you've split the baby. You never want to be as bad as you were in 21 and 22, or 22 and 23. So now you've compromised perhaps getting a better elite defender unless they weren't there in the draft. So I'm with you there. I think you could argue, and I'll get your next question. 16, we had a really great offense, and the defense was good enough. Can that get us out of more than just winning the division?
Oh, sure. I mean, look, if there's an upside scenario here, you have an offense with Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts, who I think is going to have a bounce-back season. And you could be so good offensively that you could be in that realm of, hey, we're competing for an NFC championship. I don't think the Lions' defense was great last year, and they led in the third quarter of the NFC championship game. So, yeah, it could happen. I mean, I think you'd have to hit a lot of green lights, and Kirk would have to really look healthy and play his best ball. But he was really, really good last season before he got hurt. I think everybody's kind of forgotten that. People there haven't forgotten it. People nationally might have forgotten it. That it's arguable Kirk Cousins was playing maybe the best ball of his career last year before he got hurt. He was really, I thought he was excellent. And then he just, you know, he tears his Achilles. It's a fluke injury. So the good news for him is he's not a mobility quarterback, as we all know. Having Achilles surgery shouldn't ruin him. So I think that there is a story you could tell yourself where the Falcons in a weak division rack up enough wins, get a favorable draw in the playoffs, outscore a couple teams and make a deep run. And the defense is just good enough with Raheem Morris. I respect him a lot as a coach. So, yeah, you could tell yourself a story that way. I'm not predicting it necessarily. I'm not putting any bets down on the Falcons winning the NFC. But, yes, the ceiling is at least there. And that's what getting a legitimate quarterback allows you to hope for. When Desmond Ritter is your quarterback, you can't sit here and say, well, maybe if everything goes right, we can be in the NFC Championship game. There's just no path there for that to happen. With Kirk, there at least is that path where, you know, now you got a competent coach, you got a competent quarterback, and that's good. It's going to lead to improvement, especially because I don't think the rest of that division is any good. So the path is pretty clear to the division title, and then maybe you just get hot in the playoffs.
Frank, you are leading me perfectly into my next question, because we've had a couple of analysts here on Dukes and Bell and on the radio station, both nationally and here locally, that say that the Bucs are right on the Falcons' tails because they've won the division the past couple of years. They bring back Baker. I don't see it. I think the Falcons, top to bottom, are a much better team right now than the Bucs. What do you think?
And I agree with you. I think the Bucs are in for a little bit of a regression. I just don't think they were that good last year. Now, the counter argument to that is late in the year, they were really good. Like, people might forget that they went on the road and beat the Packers, who we all love now, right? The Packers, hey, they're the hot team in the offseason. Well, Buccaneers went in Lambeau Field and beat them. And we forget, too, that the Buccaneers were tied with the Lions in the fourth quarter of the divisional round playoff game. And they were that close to knocking off the Lions and going to play the 49ers. So the end of last year, the Buccaneers were a legit team. They were very good. But you look at the whole, I don't think the defense was that good. I mean, Baker was fine, but, you know, he's not elite or anything like that.
You lose your offensive coordinator, and we always underrate that. Look at the Eagles last year. Nobody's paid any mind to them losing both coordinators, and then look what happened to Eagles late last season. So losing Dave Canales probably does hurt the Buccaneers. And then they just decided to run it back. They brought back the highest percentage of their 2023 roster of any team in the NFL. They basically just said, this team is good enough. And I think, well, the Falcons improved. The Buccaneers just stayed the same, which isn't bad, but they were still a 9-8 team that was 1.4-7 last year. They're not great. Where I don't know the Falcons are great either, but yeah, I just think one team's kind of taking a step forward as far as their offseason moves go, and it wasn't the Buccaneers.
Frank Schwab's with us, guys, from Yahoo Sports NFL. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way. Also gives you some great stuff when it comes to the line. See, I got the Falcons odds. I think it was something like 65 or 70-1 in Vegas before we made the Cousins signing. So I took it. I always put the year we blew the Super Bowl, Frank, I was looking at $9,000. I mean, yeah, my partner and I were going to make $18,000 splitting it. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It hurt.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is one of the worst beats.
It is the worst.
I hate to bring it up.
No, it is.
Everyone there is probably sick of hearing 28-3, but right. My goodness, it's one of the all-timers.
I always put about 500 on the Falcons every year, and it's always fun because in previous regimes, we used to talk to, you know, like Dan Quinn about it, and he goes, well, at least you put your money where your mouth is, because I'm a fan and a season ticket holder. About the schedule, just real quick, off the top of your head, Steelers, Eagles, Kansas City, and the Saints, we used to be able to split the season into quarters, but in the old format, Pittsburgh, Eagles, Kansas City, New Orleans, those are our first four. You think we can go 2-2 in that one?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, the Saints are real quick, because I know you guys won't mind me dunking on the Saints here.
Not at all.
The Saints might be the dullest team in the NFL of the past decade. Like, they're just so average that it's painful. They're just not, they're not bad. But they're definitely not good. They're just kind of, they're the absolute middle of the road NFL team. And I don't see why, there's no reason the Falcons can't beat them. Like, they're just, they don't do anything well. So why can't the Falcons beat them? And then the Steelers, you said too, that's who the
right.
opener is.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson, who knows? Like, maybe he's good. I just don't know that anymore. And the Steelers team is, again, Mike Tomlin's great, and he'll get them more wins than they deserve. But it's not a great team. So, yeah, I don't see any reason the Falcons can't beat them. Kansas City, no. I'm not going to put you in the win column there.
Going to Philly. Yeah, we're going to Philly, Frank. That's tough for us.
That makes it tough. Philly is... I have no idea what to make of Philly because they still have a lot of that roster, but my goodness, were they bad at the end of last season. I mean, from they started 10-1. From that moment on, for the rest of the season, they were one of the five worst teams in the NFL, which sounds crazy, but it's true. They were awful. Like, it wasn't just like they were losing a lot of close games. They lost a couple of close games, but the Buccaneers boat raced them in the playoffs. The Buccaneers, who we just talked about being, they're all right. I don't know what to make of the Eagles. I assume 2-2 for the Falcons. I won't even be crazy to say they start 3-1. It could happen if the Eagles aren't that good or, you know, whatever. I just, the only game in there I don't see the Eagles or the Falcons winning would be that Chiefs game, obviously, because the Chiefs are really, really good. But, yeah, 2-2, 3-1, and I think that'd be a perfectly reasonable start.
Frank, when it comes to a couple of national headlines real quick before we let you go, how do you feel like the Trevor Lawrence contract reset the market for guys like Dak and Tua and the next generation looking to get paid here?
I mean, I like Trevor Lawrence, but I don't love Trevor Lawrence.
And right.
They paid him like they're over the moon for him. And you paid him like he's already arrived. And I do get it at some level where you can tell yourself a story that Trevor Lawrence hasn't had a lot of help, that his injury derailed him last year, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're not letting him go, so why not get ahead of the market? If you wait a year and he plays like an MVP, all of a sudden you're paying $65 million a year instead of $55. So on one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, man, that's a lot of money for a dude who has been kind of underwhelming. Like, I get the excuses. I hear them all the time. And I'm still like, okay, that's fine. But he's not what he was advertised to be. He's just not yet. And we'll see. We'll see with Trevor. But I hate to spend $55 million, $275 million total on we'll see. Like, that's not a great investment usually. But, yes, and if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm looking at that contract and I'm going to Jerry Jones saying, well, this guy got $55 million. I'm better than him. So let's start there.
Didn't Dak say that money doesn't mean everything to him, though? I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off. Didn't Dak say that money isn't everything?
It could be. Yeah, he might have said something along those lines. But it always means something to these guys. They're not paying for minimum wage. But yes, it resets the quarterback market. And if you're a team like the Packers, right, with Jordan Love, you're probably sitting there saying, "My God, what's it going to cost to keep this guy long term?" You know, any of these guys in that realm of the young guys coming up on that first deal. If you see Trevor making $275 million after being pretty mid for 3 years, boy, how much is a good quarterback going to cost?
Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab with us, guys, here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Just real quick before we cut you loose, we were talking yesterday about how the Dolphins gave the money to Waddle. Tariq's already got a big deal. Ja'Marr Chase gets his deal, Ja'Marr Chase will get his deal. T. Higgins just got his. I mean, it's almost like you're overspending, not just on quarterbacks, which I know you have to because it's hard to find one, but it seems like wide receivers are getting overvalued the way running backs are undervalued.
Yeah, that's where the money's going, right? And I just keep thinking back to the Tennessee Titans trading away A.J. Brown, saying, "We're not going to pay you $20 million a year." Well, now that's kind of a bargain, right? Like,
right.
They talk about a team that totally whiffed on where that market was going, and you see Justin Jefferson making 35, and it's like, well, now Ja'Marr Chase is going to say, $35 million, sounds good to me, let's go. And I mean, Devontae Smith, like, and that's the thing, the true top guys making Tyreek making 30 and 35 for Justin Jefferson. Okay, that's fine. It's the ones that really open your eyes are like $25 million a year for Devontae Smith. Really? Like, I like Devontae Smith, but $25 million a year is expensive. So you're seeing not just the top guys get paid a lot, but you're seeing that kind of middle tier. And look, Atlanta's got if Drake London has a big season with Kirk Cousins this year? Is he going to cost them $30 million? I mean, that is the market that's really blowing up. But everybody in this modern NFL, the new thing, you need a receiver. You need that top alpha dog and even a number two to run alongside him like Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. So, yeah, that's where all the money's going. It's gone away from the middle linebackers and the running backs and gone right into the receiver's pocket.
Really makes you appreciate when we had Julio and Roddy, and it was like manageable back in the day. Hey, man, we'll talk to you between now and camp, Frank. Always appreciate you. Follow on Yahoo Sports and on Twitter, and thanks for the time.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We got to Carl on vacay, and we got our man Turtle hanging in today. We'll come back. Going to fire up more of that NBA discussion. Guys are still hot and bothered when it comes to what are we supposed to be doing, because the rebuild or whatever we're going to do, tweak, retool, whatever. I know there's a tool in that front office. It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
Hey now.
It is Dukes and Bell. My boy Carl is hanging out down in Jamaica. I'm on doing some fishing. I'm so jealous. I love it down there, man. It's one of my favorite. Got married down there. I got a lot of friends
is
down
that
there.
Right?
Yeah, man. We got married in Mobeyman.
Wow.
My old roommate, part of the reason every once in a while, and it always gets me funny looks when I'm on the south side when I wear a FAMU t-shirt. My old roommate in Tallahassee went to FAMU, and he was a track star from Jamaica. And that's how I got introduced to Jamaica and the culture and just love it down there. The minister that married my wife and I is one of my best friend's uncles. And it was kind of neat. Anyway, Carl's down there, and I saw the picture. I'm like, oh! Because every time I'm down there, it's deep sea fishing, and the waves, the water's moving. It's like a roller coaster. I love that action. I know some guys can sit on a lake and fish, and they like the solitude and the peace and quiet. I think if you listen to the show over the last 25 years, you know that I can't sit still and shut up. The same thing that happens when I go hunting with Bobby Hebert and his son. Mike, you gotta sit still and shut up. Can't do either one. But anyway, I was just so jelly seeing those photos of Carl out there fishing in Jamaica, man. It's a blast. Fish jumping a boat, man. It's unreal.
Red stripe in hand.
Oh. So I know right now he's sucking on a cigar because you can get real Cubans down there. Oh, I'm so jealous. And meanwhile, I'm paying $20,000 for a new HVAC system. Son of a... But I'm not... But enough about us. It is Dukes and Bell here. Hour number two brought to you by our buddies at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Oren's got some Yeah Man, No Man coming up. Chris and I were just talking during the commercial break. A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line. You guys can call too at 404-726-0929. The discussion last hour was what's up for, you know, the Hawks. What is the plan? What is this team? How much can you improve this team? Or are we so screwed? Are we so behind the eight ball that even if everything aligns, there's still so many other things that have to happen to make this thing work? So we were just saying off the air, for guys out there who love Trey and don't want to hear any criticisms of Trey, whatever, you know, fair or unfair, it's almost like you could make an easier argument for Trey having success elsewhere than us building a successful team around Trey here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, especially if he goes somewhere like he's been rumored to with the Lakers, you put him next to LeBron, and it's just like, you know, Here, score your 35 points right. a night and don't
Anthony,
worry.
Anthony Davis, here, you go. And the problem is you'll have no money if you have to play with six guys. You know, you have to leave, right. bring guys off the street to play the rest of the team the way the Miami did with the big three.
Yeah, essentially. But here's, again, there is a path for success. Is it a top four seed in the East? I don't know. Probably not. But there is a path. If you, like I've been saying, draft Sar, keep Trey, trade DJ, keep Jalen Johnson, build around that nucleus, is there a chance that the Hawks are a viable playoff team next season? I absolutely think that it is. But that depends on your trust in Landry Fields and Kyle Korver to make the tertiary moves around that, Mike, that make it make sense. Because as we just saw with the Celtics, you need a complete team to win a championship. The reason the Mavs didn't win the championship, they got two guys. That was it. And one of those guys didn't do anything in the finals. So you were essentially playing with a bunch of dudes. They have some talent and Lively and PJ Washington. Those guys are not complete NBA players yet, and they were not ready to put up 20 and 10 like they could in the finals. And they didn't. Boston was ready, and so they did. Now, how much do you trust Landry Fields and Kyle Korver and Nick Wrestler and Tony Wrestler to make the moves necessary if you keep that nucleus that I just described next season?
Right. You guys can sound off, guys, at 404-726-0929. The more we've looked at it, and like, I've never, ever claimed to be a cap expert. It's just there's so much stuff. When you think the NFL is confusing, there's so many different little wrinkles. Just like with the NBA, we talked about this, you know, this trade exception for the John Collins move when we traded John Collins to Utah, and it was like $23.7 million.
Yeah.
And then I think it was here, the local SI article, what is that? Is that Bleacher? I forget who. I get so confused by the one of the websites broke it down that you had to, another wrinkle was there's tiers to using, I mean, not cry, but T-I-E-R-S, right. to using this exception, and you've got to move some money to do it. So you'd have to take somebody off the roster, one of your, you know, your G League guys or whatever, to create it. But then you've got to try to find a trade that makes sense. And that's why I just, and a guy said to me, why do you want to get rid of Capella? I think Capella has outlived his usefulness here, guys. We may go get a big man in the draft. You know what his limitations are. More moments for Okongwu. I know Carl believes that Okongwu's still got more to come. I think I see a ceiling with Okongwu.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be that. I think it could be a nice complimentary piece. But when we were thinking when he got drafted number six overall at a USC, I mean, he's a number six overall pick. DeAndre Hunter's a number four overall pick. You need these guys at this point in their careers to be legitimate producers, and they just haven't been. There's a ceiling for Hunter. There's a ceiling for 00. These guys have not been the type of players that the Hawks expected them to be. So you compound your problems by not only not having the stars to surround Trey with, but the supporting cast that you were supposed to be bringing in hasn't lived up to their expectations either.
Right. That's when you get into, like, DeAndre Hunter. What, if you wanted a trade, I mean, that's the thing. You want him to be consistent. He is what he is. For every time you think he's turned a corner and he's on a run and you got something like, you know, a 25-point game, or just like the game down in Miami when he had the 31-point game.
It was the last game of the season.
Right. Well, oh, man, we got this. He's here. He's arrived. And it's like, no.
And then he comes back next season and goes, I didn't work on anything. Well, it kind of showed, I know you were joking, Hunter, but until you started coming off the bench, it didn't really seem like you worked on anything.
What Chris is alluding to is last year, his last season, before they had, you know, the media day up there at the Emory Training Center, and he literally said, what'd you work on in the offseason? Nothing. Very funny. You know, I mean, most NBA players are basically, what it would be you or me winning the lottery, but
I didn't work on anything.
There it is.
Exactly.
First time he's shown anything even remotely resembling a sense of humor or personality. But look, need these guys to step up. The Cam Reddish thing, that never turned into anything. We know about, the Herter. You get a guy that's a nice piece, a role player, the kind of guy you want to keep, not lose. But they're not willing to get the salary up in that luxury tax. So that was kind of, a lot of guys hit on that. A lot of our audience are saying on the text line saying that was the first sign that they're not serious. You know, about you had a nucleus. Now, some guys like Lou, we knew were too old, and there were other pieces that were going to come and go, like Gallinari. But basically, you kind of sent the signal Wrestler did that they weren't serious about moving onward and upward from that 21 championship team.
No, absolutely not. In fact, the complete opposite. And, you know, to use the old fun Bill Parcells quote, you are what your record says you are. Last year, they were 10 games under 500 to finish the season. It's just, it's reached a critical mass point now where you need to make this decision that everyone is holding our bated breath for.
Yeah. I mean, look, every NBA analyst we've talked to says you just trade Trey and you scrape along with DeJounte, and you hopefully you with Jalen Johnson you can build through the draft quicker than you would hope. You don't want to be in one of those situations over the Sixers where you're, you know, the process just never ends.
No.
Here's Jay on Twitter. He says, "Hey, Mike and Chris, we have no draft picks after this year for a while." True. "Are we really going to spend another offseason trying to build around Trey? It's not working. Trade as many pieces as you can for trade capital and build around our number one pick in Jalen. We need to move on."
I think a lot of Hawks fans feel exactly that way, Mike, because right now Trae Young has established himself as a star in this city on and off the court that isn't providing what's needed to be done. He has great individual statistics. There's a lot of players that have come into the league that have done that have put up stats, but they ultimately result in empty calories. And yes, it's not all his fault. No one's saying that it is. And if you do think that, that's your own opinion. Mike doesn't think that, and I don't think that. Yeah. But at the same time, if you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole and it's not working, there's only so many times you can try to jam the damn thing in there before it's time to turn the page. So I agree with the texter.
Hey, man, we'll get more of your feedback on this. We got plenty more football to talk about as well coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk to our buddy Bobby Carpenter from up in Columbus. Is this the year of the Buckeye? I know dog fans are, wait a minute. I just know that Georgia's defense, is it going to be as elite as it was, as Kirby said, elite as those championship years? No, you're going to have the offense. A lot of folks feel the Buckeyes got the package. Also, Drew Butler in the 4 o'clock. But coming up next, we're going to talk to our man Big O with some Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, a lot of people fired up today. Is Luka Trey? Is Trey Luka? Are they both the same? Is either one of these guys going to get a title? Is it going to happen soon? Is it going to happen later? Could Trey ever win a title here?
Einhorn.
Is Einhorn Finkel? Watched that the other day. Still makes me laugh. That was in South Florida when they were making that movie. In like 92 or 93. But you had no idea, because Jim Carrey, if you didn't know other from In Living Color, you had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that was the burgeoning of his career.
Or it really, it literally looked like some low-budget feature. You had no idea. They were shooting like on Collins and off Ocean Drive.
Such a great movie.
Right. Randall Tex Cobb was in it in the beginning. He rescues the dog for the...
Marina on the Isotoners.
By the way...
Hey, Ace, do you have any chewing gum?
No, none of your business, Dan, and I think you said of my personal affairs.
Sorry, makes me laugh.
You're a weird guy, Ace.
By the way, I did have somebody text us on the text line about a Jamaica question for you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm on.
They said, "I was born in Montego Bay, worked at the Sangsters International Airport for 15 years.
Holy cow.
Moved to America in 1978. Have you ever been to the Dunes River Falls?"
Yeah, is that Ochi? Is Dunes River Falls, is that Ochi Rios?
I have no idea.
I believe so. I'll check it out. Because there's three or four things. I'll check it out right now. Do-do-do. Make sure I've got it correct. It is... Yep, it's an Ochi. Ochi, they call Ochi. The local is called Ochi Mine. But yes, sir, it's amazing and it's beautiful, and you can slide on the rocks without cutting up your butt. It's a lot of fun.
Very nice.
There you go. A lot of the cruise ships will bring people over there, too. On that tourist-related note, let's get to some Yeah Man or Yeah Man, No Man.
Very nice.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
No, Chris is over here behind the glass. It's the Big O, Oren. You get your AC, by the way? Is the house fixed?
No, house is not fixed. Landlord, the AC repair person that they were going to have come out was like, "I don't think I can do anything to it." So she... Great landlord was like, "Well, I'll find somebody else to come in and see if they can fix the AC." So right. We did box fans last night and cooled the house down considerably, but it was still very, very warm.
Tell the landlady, we do have a couple of folks who do that business here on the radio as sponsors.
I can reach out maybe there, yes.
Just saying, I've got to, now tomorrow we're all off for Juneteenth. Well, you're working, but hey, it's in the contract. But so I'll be waiting for the new HVAC system to show up. And I got to watch the dog. Becky's going out of town because you can't have guys trying to put it, all that stuff together with Ike like stealing wrenches and running around the house trying to bury
the toys,
them. Right. So anyway, that's my Wednesday to look forward to. What you got, man, for Yeah Man, No Man?
All righty. Funny you guys are talking about Luka and Trey because courtesy of FanDuel, we've got some odds for next year, gentlemen. Good old-fashioned odds. Let's start here with odds to win NBA championship next year. Mm. You want to put down a cool $100 on the Hawks, plus 10,000 right now the Hawks are sitting at to win the NBA championship next year. So it'll be a pretty hefty payout, but they're down on the bottom with the likes of the Spurs, the Bulls, the Raptors, the Hornets, the Pistons, Nets, Wizards, and Blazers. All those are all at 50,000, plus 50,000. But the Hawks right now sitting at plus 10,000.
Oh.
Championship next year.
And the Celtics right now are the favorites, right? I believe the Nuggets are the next lowest odds.
Celtics, Nuggets, T-Wolves, Thunder, Bucks, Mavs.
I was going to say, Bucks can come back with Giannis, right?
Yeah, maybe they'll have a full year to get things right with Doc. It seemed like once they brought Doc in, it took a while to kind of get that ship righted, but a full year with Doc, a full year with him, with Dame.
Well, he was busy
Giannis
doing
too.
That documentary, right, for
Hulu?
That's very
true, yes, very true.
He was
very
he
busy.
Was a little preoccupied.
Oh, Hollywood Doc over there, yeah.
That is getting one of the worst reviewed shows of all time.
It was funny because there was clipped. a pivotal scene J.J. Redick was doing a podcast about. He was like, I watched it, and like it was entertaining, but like it was not an accurate portrayal at all of how something went with himself.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I love, you know, we still, almost every other week we talk about Winning Time, which I wish somebody would pick up in the world that does TV, whether it's, you know, Hulu or Netflix or, you know, anybody, Amazon, because it was so well done. Adam, it's just a time capsule, one of my favorite periods, you know, as a, watching the NBA with Magic and Bird and all that. But and the way it was cast, I mean, it was so cool watching. What's the actor, Adrian Brody, that plays Pat Riley, when Riley finally gets his balls and basically tells West to shut up, tells the whole team to just shut up, and just literally calls guys out, lights up a heater, and just basically goes through and says, "Oh, you're chirping. Oh, you, Kareem, you haven't shown up in 3 months." It's one of the best things I've seen on TV. I don't know. Maybe am I too close to it? I just love that scene.
No, I was very upset when they didn't bring it back for season three, but that was very entertaining. And I get that, you know, Jerry West wasn't a fan of it and Magic wasn't a fan of it. And the Lakers, after that, came out.
There's probably some truth. There's a little bit of truth in there.
I enjoyed it. Like, it's. Hey, it was fun to watch. Shout out to, was it Jeff Perlman, I think, was the book that it was based on.
Right.
So, yeah, shout out to those guys.
But
it was very well done.
You know, the thing is, you love, you want to see this Lakers, where Ed O'Neal playing Sterling, and, I mean, it just, the whole thing was so cartoonish in its nature that
just
it's hard
to
maybe
do
a docudrama of it. But I haven't watched one episode yet of Clipped, and it's getting crushed.
I watched, I think, the first 10 minutes of the pilot episode, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to watch any more of this, so we'll see what happens.
But to answer your original question, Oren, no, I'm not lighting a $100 bill on fire. Sorry.
All righty. Fair enough. Well, how about MVP odds for next year? Because Trey is sitting above a very, very interesting name in the MVP odds. The favorite for the MVP next year, Jokic at plus 380, followed by Luka, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Giannis. Scrolling down the list a little bit, Trey Young sitting at plus 12,000, right above LeBron James at plus 15,000. So, Trey, you can get better odds for MVP than LeBron next year. But how about LeBron? Excuse me. How about Trey at plus 12,000 for MVP next year?
Oof.
Takers on that one.
Yeah, and a lot of folks feel, is this the last rodeo for LeBron?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, well, I know everything's been written about Bronny and whatever. I mean, is somebody really going to take a flyer on Bronny? I hate to put it in these terms because he's dealt with a lot with his health, you know, the heart condition, everything. He's just not an NBA player.
Not yet, anyway. No.
No, you just need. That's what the college game is about: is getting more reps, developing, getting stronger, developing your game. And he didn't. It's tough when you're a young guy and you're trying to learn how to play when you're in the NBA.
Right. And I know that you know, ESPN did like their top 100, and he wasn't even in that. And the next thing you know, one comes out. Now he's like 54. Somebody, I think, I forget who wrote about it in The Athletic, was saying it's ironic because the Lakers, like, it's like one pick where the Lakers pick in the second round.
Talk about an agenda. Jeez. Right. I mean, do I think there's a world in which Trae Young could win the MVP next season? No, I just don't. I don't think the Hawks are going to be good enough if he stays. And if he goes, I don't think he's going to be the focal point on whatever team he goes to. So I don't think the odds are really in his favor to do it either here or otherwise, to be honest.
I'm with you. I just, the only place he would be an MVP is somewhere else, because the more we've talked about it with like Lauren Williams from the AJC and all our who's some of the NBA guys we have on a regular basis, everybody we talk to says, you got to blow it up. There's, I mean, it's really no way to salvage this in the minds of a lot of folks that cover this league for a living outside of Atlanta. And Elizabeth, Lauren says, your guess is as good as ours, what the plan's going to be. Lauren continues with Yeah Man, No Man.
Last night, Chris sent us a very interesting text during the Euros last night, I guess. It was Landon Donovan was doing commentary. And at no point did anybody stop Landon Donovan. There was no producer, no makeup person, no nobody. They allowed Landon Donovan to go out with bad hair plugs. When I say bad hair plugs, I mean, go to Twitter and look. It looked like somebody had eaten around the bottom part of his head and just kind of flapped hair on top of it. It was incredibly hard to describe, but it was just one of the worst hair plug jobs I think I've ever seen before. So
who's this?
This is Landon Donovan last night. Remember? Yes,
Landon Donovan. I thought he missed, like, his barber missed a spot. Like, he was doing, like a three or a fade on the side, and he missed a chunk.
Oh, no. It came out in a text message with his former teammate, Mike McGee. I had a hair transplant procedure 2 weeks ago and was told it wouldn't show up on camera.
They lied.
Somebody lied to him. So at no point, though, would you think a producer or a makeup person, like, hey, Landon, like, that doesn't look good. And let him go out on camera and look like that.
I saw that picture that Orin's talking about yesterday, Chris. Again, I know something about hair because I've had it done
twice.
And again, Dr. Daniel, North Atlanta Hair. But no, the thing is, it's called Shaveless FUE. If you shave your head, it's obvious you've had it done. If you grow your hair out a lot, but Landon doesn't have anything to grow out, so it does kind of look pretty obvious. You're able to just basically go about a few weeks beyond like when you normally have your hair cut, and then no one's ever going to know. In the old days, you're right. It looked like you had like a tic-tac-toe board on your forehead.
Right. Well, here's the problem. Landon's been fighting this uphill battle for about 15 years now. He was still a player, and he was losing that battle with Father Time. So the fact that he's going back to the well again and again and again, I just don't think there's anything up top left there for you, my brother. I think you got to surrender, come on home, and break out the Bic.
Just break out that zero, man. Break out that zero and let it go. Last thing here, Mike. It was reported a while back that we may be getting full automated strike zones in Major League Baseball. Mm. No umps whatsoever. Full robots. This is how the revolution starts with the robots, by the way, in Skynet with the umpires right there. Well, it's not going to be quite that way exactly. Minor League Baseball this week is going to start implementing a kind of partial system, but they're going to be allowed to challenge balls and strikes. So you'll have full umpires still, but you'll have somebody watching a camera, and they can check those balls and strikes almost automatically. They're going to start that challenge system this week in Minor League Baseball with the hopes that it will eventually be implemented in the Major League Baseball. So the idea now that probably within the next couple of years, we will be able to challenge balls and strikes during a baseball game.
Yeah, the thing is, if these computers become self-aware and then they go on a killing spree and knocking off all of, not that I'm advocating for this, but all of the egomaniac umpires who think they're the show. And by the way, they still exist. Now we're getting to the second tier. There's still C.B. Buckner. There's still, I mean, even last night's strike zone was a bit hard to kind of gather. It actually did benefit the Braves in the final analysis.
True.
But yeah, I just felt, man, the human element, I've never understood. Let's get it right. Oh, well, you lose the human element. What? An egotistical idiot. You know, a computer doesn't need a per diem. A computer doesn't have an ego to bruise. Just get the thing right. I mean, I know it's hard for some older folks, Chris and Oren, because you've grown up with the umpires. It's just, no. If they're not getting the job done, you're part of the problem, not the solution. So you got to go, man.
They've been doing it in tennis for 10 years.
Yeah, Cyclops technology. And you know, they review it, whoop, and in 5 seconds, there it is.
And it works, and it's accurate. So, I mean, come on, man.
And you telling me the computer algorithm, whatever the hell the programmer builds, so they can't adjust the strike zone between a guy who's 5'8" and a guy who's 6'10"?
Just make it uniform, yeah.
I mean, there's a way. I mean, well, Aaron Judge is not going to have the same strike zone as, like, Ozzie Albies, but you find a way.
Find a way. In a survey, 28% of personnel and 30% of fans preferred the human umpire is making calls rather than a robot.
Yeah, because you can't boo at the robot. Like, if you're my dad, you know, get your 6 or 7 44-ounce beers. Hey!
Just start chucking them at the robot.
Hey, Harvey! Doug Harvey, my father. Eric Gregg. John McSherry, rest his soul. His big, fat soul. But yeah, I mean, these are all guys that my old man used to get on back in the day. So that's part of it. What does Peter Griffin say? It's my right.
There it is.
You know, so there you go.
I thought this was America.
Yeah. I just want to get it right. And believe me, guys, you take away the umps. Who goes to look at the umpires?
Nobody.
The only time umpires are part of games is when they kind of.
I mean, did Angel Hernandez have groupies? Women who love men who shave their arms? I don't know.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Umpire groupies. I don't want to see them.
Oh boy.
Hey man. On that note, good job, Orin. Man, that's yeah, man, no man. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll come back. We got plenty more to dive into with our good buddy Drew Butler. We're going to talk about Georgia. Going to talk about, you know, this schedule, this beast of a schedule. Also want to pick his brain because he's got a lot to say about the U.S. Open. And did Rory gack it or did Bryson win it? Or I guess is the truth in the middle, Chris? It's all coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.